Y'all need hand sanitizer. This stuff. I thought today we could start off with a softball question. Y'all know what a softball question is. It's one of those questions that's just lobbed right up there for you. Very easy to answer. Softball is easier to hit than a baseball. And I figured it would be one easy for us because it's concerning farming. Zion, I know that most of us, if not all of us, either grew up on a farm, you've got family members that were farmers, may still be farmers, or you've had vegetable gardens. And so this will be an easy question, which is, what does it take for our crops to grow? Or what do we need for our vegetable gardens to grow? Or if you're like me, your vegetable garden is the grocery store, what do you need for grass to grow? Three things. You need good seed. Yeah, well, that's three. Number two is you need good dirt. Now, number three, or good weather. You need sunshine and the right amount of rain. So first, good seed. I have learned that not all seed is created equal. At least that's what Lowe's Hardware tells you, because I went to go buy some grass seed, and the contractor mix was just in the normal bag. I think it was maybe $30 or $40. And then right beside it was this new and improved, genetically modified, in any condition, you can throw it out on your driveway and the grass will still come up. A bag of that costs you about $1,000. So I know now not all seed is created equal. Good dirt. When we were moving to Alabama, we were working in an impoverished community, and they called that area that we were moving to the Black Belt. When I got down there, I thought, that's not very PC way of referring to this community, because it was mostly African-American, black community. Well, now I learned that it's not the Black Belt because of the color of one's skin, and they weren't huge fans of karate movies. No, they referred to the area as the Black Belt because of the soil. Rich, black soil that was perfect for growing crops. And in that area of Alabama, way back in the day, there was farming communities and just fields and fields of cotton. I imagine what it used to be here in Cleveland County. So good seed, good dirt, and then again, good weather. You need the right amount of sunshine. It's good to see the sun out today. You need the sun, but maybe too much, it becomes too dry, a drought. So you don't have anything that's going to grow in those conditions. And then too much rain, you can flood everything out. Again, when we were in Alabama, I decided to grow a vegetable garden, and I'm not much of a farmer. Farmer Matt needs some help, and so I went down to a local hardware store, and he gave me all the seed. He actually gave me about 100 corn kernels or corn seeds. So I tilled the ground up, I planted everything, and it was kind of dry, so I thought I would be a farmer and I'd try to bring the rain. And I went and I turned the sprinkler system on one evening. I go the next morning to check out my garden, and I realized I let the sprinkler run all night long. So my vegetable garden had turned into a vegetable pond. Needless to say, the corn did not survive, but that also had to do with, I think, a family of squirrels and a herd of mosquitoes carried them all off as well. But you need good seed, you need good dirt, and you need good weather for our crops to grow. Last week, we concluded our worship service with the question to think about, with the question to ponder, how can we grow? We've been talking about what it means to be an engaged church, and last week we talked specifically about our church health. It's a church filled with members that are both spiritually committed to their faith to learn more, and then also those that are engaged within their congregational life. And we asked four questions. You remember the first one was, what do I get? If talking about being an engaged and committed to the congregation, studies show that if you are able to get something from the organization or your church, then you're more likely to be committed to it. I get spiritual development. My spiritual needs are being met. That's what I get, so I'm connected to the church. Then what do I give? Am I able to serve in the church, to use my gifts and talents? The other question is, do I belong? Or am I making genuine lasting friendships? Do people greet me here other than my mom and dad and my family? Do I have friends that are here in the church? Are my opinions, are my ideas valued? And then that last question that we left with that we're going to talk about today, how do we grow? If we are a healthy church, we should be growing. So how do we do that? Well, you know, a good way of always answer a question is to give more questions, to ask more questions. And so we start asking ourselves then, when we're thinking about growing, well, why don't people join our church? Why don't more people join our church? Why don't more people stay rather than leave out the back door? Why don't more people serve? We try to rationalize and figure it out. Well, they're just not very committed to their spiritual life. They're not very strong in their faith. Well, they're just too busy. They don't have their priorities in line. They just don't get it. That's why. But I think a better question for us to be asking is, why do people join our church? Why do people stay? Why do people serve? Why do people become more engaged and connected? And that turns the focus off of they and them and more on us. We can't control they, but we can control us. We can start asking the questions and maybe making the right changes that we need to make in order for our church to grow. And so we, again, look at that question, how can we grow? And we're going to look at it in the same way that we answered asked that first question, how do our crops grow? Good seed, good dirt, and good weather. Jesus addressed this question when he shared a story, a parable about the sower and the seeds in Mark's Gospel, chapter 4, verses 1 through 9. And he shared this story to an audience of mostly farmers, and it was about farming, one that they would understand. And so if you have your Bibles, I invite you to read along with me. We'll be looking at these verses 1 through 9. Again, Jesus began to teach by the lake. The crowd gathered around him and was so large that he got into a boat and he sat on it and went out in the lake. While all the people were along the shore at the water's edge, he taught them many things by parables. And in his teaching, he said, "Listen, a farmer went out to sow his seed. And as he scattered the seed, some fell along the path. The birds came and they ate it up. Some fell on rocky places where it did not have much soil. It sprang up quickly because the soil was shallow. But when the sun came up, the plants were scorched and they withered because they had no root. Other seed fell among thorns, which grew up and choked the plants, so they did not bear grain. Still other seed fell on good soil. It came up, grew, and produced a crop multiplying 30, 60, or even 100 times." Then Jesus said, "He who has ears to hear, let him hear." So we've looked at this parable before, and I want us to take a look at it as to how it applies to our church health. How do we grow a church by the means of good seed, good dirt, and good weather? Good seed. This seed that Jesus goes on later in this parable to explain is the word. This is the message, the gospel. This is Christ. And so it's the seed of the gospel that is being scattered, that the farmer scatters. This is good seed. This is gooder than good. This is life-changing, the bread of life type seed. So it's the perfect seed to be sown. And then we look at the different types of dirt that the seed is scattered upon. And so the first falls on this path. It's hard-packed dirt, and we know that the seed needs to be up under the dirt to scratch the surface a little bit so that it can germinate and it can grow. Well, it just lays there on that hard pack, and so it just gets eaten up and taken by the birds. I think sometimes as a church, we can find ourselves where we have already accepted the seed or we already know how to do church because we've been doing it for 5, 10, 20, 200 years. And so sometimes we're a little closed off or reluctant to possibly change. And folks, it doesn't take much to look around at our town. It used to be a cotton town, mostly farmers, has changed. So the industry has changed around us. Church life and culture has changed around us. And so we too, as a church, in order to grow, will need to make the right changes. But sometimes we can be closed off to those, and it can be hard. We're not accepting that new vision, that new direction. Then there's some seed that fell along the rocks. Sometimes as churches, we are made up of individual members that are spiritually committed, meaning folks that have deep, strong roots. And if we don't have that commitment to our spiritual formation, to our Bible study, our personal study, our growing in our faith, becoming better and stronger Christians, we don't have the roots to withstand what we're going to face the next 5 or 10 years. We need to be spiritually committed. We need to take time to make sure we're growing deep, strong roots for Christ to weather the storms that we might find. And then there was some seed that fell among the thorns. They had no space to grow. This is where we can find ourselves sometimes as a church, where we have no space to grow. Where either as individuals in our family, life is so busy that we're going and going and going, and we just don't have space or really time for God. Or even in church life, we find ourselves maybe doing too much. I know many of y'all, you don't have to raise your hands, but you could raise your hand to say that I have found myself before serving on too many committees, doing too many things where I feel like I'm burnt out. Or you're stretched so thin, you're not being effective as being the best that you could be. We're not giving ourselves space to grow. And then finally, some of the seed fell on that good soil. It's able to grow, to establish strong roots, to weather the storms that's going to face in order then eventually to bear fruit. So then as a church, looking at our church health, asking ourselves that question, how do we grow? Good seed, the gospel message of Christ. Good dirt to be that good soil. And then good weather. There were two farmers who have lived through so many different droughts, like summer upon summer, till it got to one point where one farmer decided he's not even going to till up the dirt or to sow the seed. But one farmer does, tills the dirt, sows the seed. Which farmer trusted God more to bring the rain? And I think that the good weather is an important point for us to remember. And how do we grow as a church? Because it all boils down or lies on us trusting God to bring the rain. We've got good seed. We've got the message of Christ, the gospel. But sometimes we have to find ourselves needing to till the soil to make sure that we are that good soil church here so that when folks come in that they can grow spiritually, that they can establish good roots. But we can do all we can and some folks still won't come and be a part of it. Some folks still won't make that decision to become Christians. It's ultimately up to God to bring the right amount of sun and the right amount of rain. Farmer Matt was going to try to bring the rain, and you saw what happened. I left the rain and the water on all night long, and I flooded the garden. And I think it's a good illustration, not only my poor farming skills, but of sometimes in our limitations as humans, in our efforts to do what we think's right, how we're supposed to do church, it's not the right way, or we mess up. So ultimately, we need to let God be in charge and to lead and guide us in the direction he'd have us in order to go. Good seed, good dirt, and good weather. And there's one final truth that we can get from this parable. And I know a lot of y'all, you caught it already because y'all are all a lot better farmers than Farmer Matt. This farmer, when he goes out and he scatters the seed, if he was a good farmer, he would just scatter the seed and to sow it in the good soil because that's where it's going to go. But instead, he's throwing it everywhere. He's being wasteful, right? He's scattering seed among rocks, among thorns on this hard path, that there's no way in the world it's going to come up there. But I think this part of the story communicates a very sacred truth about our farmer, about our Lord and Savior. He's a very gracious farmer. Doesn't discriminate. He throws the seeds out wherever they may go. And through the power of the Holy Spirit, through God bringing the right amount of rain and sun, is able to work in the lives of those people whose hearts might be hardened or may have soil among the rocks where they can't establish the roots, or might find themselves in the middle of all the thorns and distractions of life. It doesn't matter. The seed gets scattered and sown everywhere. And we can take that same message in our efforts to go outside of these four walls as a church and to sow those seeds within all types of community and allow God to use us to be the hands and feet. Will you pray with me? I thank you, God, for all the many ways that you've blessed us. And I pray, God, that you'll start to work in the lives of each and every person here, so that as individuals, as brothers and sisters in Christ, as a church family, that you will help us to be that good soil church, that you will work in our lives, tilling up the soil, so that we can be the church that you have called us to be. We thank you so much for the seed that's sown in each of our lives, our Lord and Savior Christ. We thank you for bringing the right amount of sun and rain just to lift our spirits, to encourage us, to empower us to do what you've called us to do. I just pray for continued blessings and guidance in all the things we do. And we ask this in Christ's name. Amen. We're going to continue our worship this morning through the remembrance of communion of the Lord's Supper. And at this time, I invite the deacons to go ahead and to come on down front. And as they make their way down front, just as the choir shared this morning, that I come broken, but we're thankful because Christ accepts us just as we are. I'll be the first to admit that my life is not the best good dirt life, that I have found myself at times needing the soil and the dirt tended. It's been messed up. I'm not perfect, but I'm thankful that Christ is able to come in and to change us and to make us better. And that's what we're going to remember this morning, the power that Christ has came to change our lives, to make us better. Jesus gathered with his disciples, his inner circle, his small group, his friends, he gave them this symbol to remember him. And he told them, he said, take this bread. And he broke it and he gave thanks. And he gave it to them and said, this is my body given for you. Do this in remembrance of me. In the same way, after supper, he took the cup, saying, "This cup, the new covenant, in my blood, which is poured out for you, remember me." It is such a blessing and honor just to pause, to take time to remember Christ, because he has blessed us so much. He has changed our lives, and he has allowed us just to weather those storms and to grow among the thorns, and to, even when we have hardened hearts and rocky soil that makes it difficult, we try our hardest, but when Christ comes into our life, he can work his ways among us. We continue to remember that through our worship time, and we'll do that as we stand and sing our hymn of invitation, hymn of response, "I Cast All My Cares Upon You." As always,